Got those doors. Thank you. Legal, y'all ready? Eric, you good? All right. Good morning. Let me call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council on this Friday, June 30th. I can't remember ever having Friday committee meetings, but I like it better than Monday. I really do. So everybody have a great holiday weekend. Deal wisely with the heat. And I wasn't joking when I put on my social media, stay inside from 11 a.m. today until the 1st of November. And that way you'll be fighting the heat. So, but it is going to, it can reach dangerous levels this weekend. Item number two, approval of the minutes from our June 5th.
Move for approval.
All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Minutes are approved. Public comments. If you have a public comment, please come to the lectern, name and address. And by ordinance, you have 2.5 minutes, please. We're going to hear from Pat for the first time in a long time.
Only 2 minutes.
2.5.
Okay.
I don't know that I need.
You don't have to use it all.
So, Pat Sullivan, 1002 Plantation Court. Okay, I want to thank James, it's not here. Y'all put, the transportation department put in speed humps in over at Sneak Arm, which the board has been asking for a while. They're in, they just went in this week, so thank y'all for that. On e-bikes, as soon as I saw e-bikes on the agenda, I said, I have to come. People are not riding them safely, not safely for them, but also for us. And I was at the shopping center right across the street on the walkway that goes right along the stores, and this kid on an e-bike comes like this and almost, you know, I had to like get out of the way. And I don't think we should have to get out of the way for e-bikes. They should be looking out for us. They're not. They're so I hope we can do something to make them more safe and more courteous to other people than themselves. And since I haven't taken up 2 minutes, then I'll also say that we have a lot of kids driving golf carts in Sneak Arm where I live. I don't know about other places. But these kids come racing down the road. They have tons of their friends riding with them like this. And I know they're underage. I know they don't have licenses, driver's licenses. And I know police come around there from time to time. But I haven't heard of any car getting with kids getting stopped and saying, don't do that. I heard James came to the Sneak Arm. They had a special meeting on transportation last week or the week before. And he said that y'all are forming some kind of special control patrol to come over and start watching out for these kids and the kids without driver's license driving the golf carts. So I hope that's really true. We need it. And I could talk about a lot of other things, but I'll stop.
Thanks, Pat. Good job. Next, please. Public comment. Anyone else? All right. Pat, you win the award for commenter of the day. So. Thank you all very much. Move on to item four, police matters, employee years of recognition. Chief Arnold.
Good morning, Mayor and committee members. We've got five individuals that we're recognizing this morning. So I'd like to call up Connor Byrne, Sean Morris, and Catherine Kopp, Katie Kopp. They're all started in 2018. and recognize them for 5 years of service. You guys just stand and face the committee. There you go.
There you go. We're over here.
Connor joined in May of 2018. He's currently in the patrol division. He works in the with our harbor patrol. In fact, recently was participating in an exercise. And also performs another training, our vital function for us, and that's training and developing new officers. So does a tremendous job. Sean Morris is in our narcotics division. Last year, or 2022, received the Detective of the Year. Just phenomenal work that they do that oftentimes goes unrecognized, not because we don't want to recognize, but because in the world of narcotics investigation, some of that stuff needs to remain private. Catherine Kopp joined us in July of 2018, is currently in our patrol division. She also is on the Harbor Patrol and a member of our Honor Guard, does a fantastic job in patrol, and also is a bit of a basketball phenom. So like to recognize them for 5 years of excellent service and look forward to many more years. Thank you.
Individual photos, but you may not want to be in.
Okay, Ashley. Next is Ashley Croy. She joined in September 2012. Left us for a very short period of time, but then realized the grass was not greener on the other side, and she came back to us. Currently is the ranking sergeant, has worked in a variety of different functions. She was a supervisor of the quarter in 2022, and right now she's knocking it out of the park as the police department's public information officer. So thank you for 10 years of exceptional service, and I look forward to many more. And last but certainly not least is Matt Parks, 20 years. All right. So Matt is a sergeant with us. He has worked in a variety of different functions with the town. He was a canine officer for several years. Just done a fantastic job. In 2020, he was recognized as the supervisor of the year. Matt heads our narcotics division. And I met with him recently to go over some of the work that they've been doing on it for us, and it is not an overstatement to say that the work that he and Sean and the other narcotics detectives is truly making our community safer. And so just like to take this opportunity to say thank you for your hard work in keeping us safe, and look forward to many more years of service. We can do your picture.
Let's keep it.
Great job. On behalf of the committee and all of council, we thank y'all very much. We're very proud to have y'all with us. Yeah. You can do the little fuzzy dot over your face.
Perfect. Thank you.
Is that it, Chief? Got them all. Thank you very much. Item 5, judicial matters. There are no agenda items. This brings us to item 6, legal matters. First is discussion and possible action regarding Juneteenth Day observance. I've spoken to several council members. I've put this on the agenda. We know it's a federal holiday. I'm not sure that it's a state holiday, but I think it's a federal holiday. And it struck me the importance of the visible living reminders we have of the effect of Juneteenth, and that's the settlement communities that are all throughout Mount Pleasant. And I'm an advocate of us as a town observing the holiday and it being a holiday. I know there's support among council, but we will discuss that further. today. And I think there's also support that we would include Veterans Day, because I think those two are tied together, because what our veterans serve for is to protect our freedoms. And one of those freedoms is Juneteenth is the embodiment of one of those. So if Eric, if you and legal will just sort of tell us what we need to consider, and then committee will have some discussion.
Thank you. Well, sir, thank you very much. You know, for us on the operational side, such holidays are of really the economic impact is small. And so there's nothing on the operational side that I think that you would have to consider in moving forward with what you want to do. My understanding from talking with Mr. Pagliarini is just simply a vote of council is enough to put both those holidays into place, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Have they been discussed in the past? I know probably not Juneteenth, but has Veterans Day been discussed in the past?
At the town level?
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that, sir. No.
Okay. Okay. So, council members, I know y'all have a few things to say.
Sure, I appreciate it. Obviously, support recognizing Juneteenth Day, but I was one of the ones that spoke to you more about adding Veterans Day. Being a veteran myself, I know we have many veterans that work and serve in this town. There's many sitting in this room today. We're the reason, all the veterans are the reason that we have these freedoms. And I often thought it was overlooked. We did not recognize as a town Veterans Day, so I would ask that we add that as well when we present this for a full council to our vote. Thank you.
Okay. I firmly agree with that. Mr. Chapman?
Well, first of all, Mayor, when we come to work, when our staff comes to work on a federal holiday that's recognized across the land, there's a lot of things that can't get done, period. So from a time standpoint, we're not really taking a lot of time away from when work can get done. Juneteenth is one of the latest holidays, but I think it might be one of the ones for the state that is alternated among five or six other holidays. You can pick one versus the other. And the reason Juneteenth is so important is that while the war between the states ended in April, it didn't get down to Texas and places like that a long time later. So there was still fighting going on, and it was very critical that the message get to places like Corpus Christi, Texas. And so as a result, it's great that it's being recognized, and it is just as important as Emancipation Day. So I wholeheartedly support Juneteenth as well as Veterans Day. And while I cannot claim being a veteran, my dad certainly was. I was an officer in the Air Force, and I'm a lieutenant colonel in the State Guard. So I am very glad that we're finally recognizing Veterans Day.
Before we proceed to something like a motion, do we need to, how many holidays are we going to be having? Do we need to look at one that may be optional, something that's less personal, like President's Day, which I always thought is very generic? You know, it was combined. I know we do Martin Luther King Day, right?
Yes, sir.
We do Martin Luther King Day. Are we getting to the point, just for consideration, that we need to look at any of the others that we observe, or are we okay just adding these two? What are y'all think?
In my opinion, sir, just add the two. Because again, okay, to Mr. Chapman's point, if these dates are still recognized by other entities, it goes back to his point where you can't get work done because right, these other places are closed.
Right.
I think we just bring these two and add them to our list of holidays observed by the town.
I'm fine with that.
That would be my recommendation, yes, too, sir.
All right. Let's get a motion.
I move that we make Juneteenth Day and Veterans Day a holiday within the town of Mount Pleasant.
I second that.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all very much. So I guess that will be recommended to council at our meeting next week. Well, not next week. We're meeting on June 30th. That's right. Appreciate that. I think that's very important and very consistent with the image that we put forth with our commitment to our settlement communities and our heritage, like we just stressed in a big way out in Denver to get the All-American City Award. So thank you all very much. Item B in 6 is discussion and possible action regarding e-bikes.
Thank you, Mayor Haney, and good morning, members of the committee. Last month, we had a detailed and productive discussion related to bicycles, e-bikes, and mopeds. As a general matter, we discussed the state-mandated definitions of some of those elements, including state laws and regulations. We looked at other municipalities, and what came out of that meeting was a request that legal prepare a comprehensive ordinance replacing fairly dated portions of our existing ordinance. And Mr. Ward, James Ward, is going to present to you the summary and the details of this comprehensive ordinance for your consideration. As a general matter, bicycles, e-bikes, mopeds are defined. And again, those are all based on existing state definitions, so we cannot change those. However, we do have the right and opportunity to further regulate as we see fit, and James will cover those in detail.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning.
So a little bit of background on talking about e-bikes, but also bicycles and then mopeds as well. Our bicycle ordinance, Chapter 73, was passed by council in 1963. Since then, there's been no amendments, no revisions to that chapter, so it is a little outdated. It's based, it references state statutes that have been amended since then, last amended in 2008. So part of this revision is going to be to update those references to include references to the new code. And then, like Mr. Pagliarini said, the bottom there's a state statute that allows municipalities to govern bicycles on the streets and highways. So we do have the ability to do that. All right. So a little bit of overview. Again, our goal is to repeal and replace this chapter in its entirety. There's bicycle license and registration requirements, which I'll go over in a second, that we want to seek to remove. I don't think anybody has registered a bike in the town in a while. And then again, update the current ordinance and then add provisions regarding e-bikes and mopeds. So the current version, like I just mentioned, there is a registration requirement, a license requirement under the current ordinance right now. Every year, if you operate a bike in the town, you're supposed to go down to the police department and get a license for it and pay a fee of $2. Again, I don't believe anybody has done that.
And are we doing that to you?
And then the rest of the ordinance, the current orders, mirrors state statutes, like I just mentioned, but those state statutes have been updated since we initially adopted this ordinance. So before you, what I handed to you is a proposed ordinance that we drafted. Chief Arnold and then Mr. Morrison have both reviewed it, gotten positive feedback, but certainly if you have questions of them, they can answer that. So I'll go through it real quick. First, on the first page there, you'll see that we have some definitions. Like Mr. Pagliarini said, the definitions are based on state statutes. So basically, it's going to break down into three sections. We have bicycles, which are just your standard bicycles, pedal operated. We have e-bikes, which is defined as state statute as no more than 750 watts or one horsepower, and it has a top speed of 20 miles an hour. And then we have mopeds, which is anything above that, but less than a motorcycle, so exceeding 750 watts or not more than 1500 watts. And then we have our application, so it's going to apply to all bicycles and e-bikes and mopeds within the streets and highways in the town, but it's not applicable to law enforcement. They can still operate bicycles as they need to without being constrained by this ordinance. Next. So first, on the next page, you'll see that we have the regulations applicable to bicycles. The first couple sections there are all mirror state statutes. So you have the rights and duties of bicyclists. They're they have the same rights and they're subject to the same duties as a driving vehicle, except where supplemented by this chapter. So they have to abide by, you know, all the other regulations that an operator of a vehicle has to. Next is the limitations regarding the operation, riding position, and number. Only one person on a bike at a time, must be in a seat, can't be carrying things that would prevent them from operating a bike. The next section is regarding use of hand and arm signals. So they're supposed to use arm signals to signal where they're going to turn. And then the next section there is regarding abandoned bicycles. So that is not in the state statute, but that is going to a provision that allows for the police department or the town to remove and dispose of any abandoned bicycles. There's some requirements there that it has to be in a state of disrepair and it has to not move for a period of 7 days. And then at the bottom there is something we discussed at last meeting is regarding riding bicycles on the sidewalk. So state statute says that all bicycles must be driven in the road. However, we can change that to some extent. And so you'll see there we have three provisions that allow for people to ride a bicycle on the sidewalks. The first is if you're a child under the age of 12 and you're operating a bicycle that has a wheel diameter of less than 24 inches, they can operate on any sidewalk within the town. The second is a pathway designed by EDS for the use of a bicycle, and that measures at least 8 feet wide. And then the last is when there is a sidewalk adjacent to a highway or road that has a posted speed limit of 35 miles per hour or more, then anybody can operate a bicycle on those sidewalks. And then you'll see below there.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely.
On that section?
Yes.
And I presume most of this has come from state statute, but 7308A1, children the age of 12 and under, and I think you in discussion said under the age of 12, 12 and under, having a wheel diameter of 24 inches. Is that 24 inches under the state statute, or where did we come with that? Because I know 26, I rode a bike when I was 12, 26 inch, so I'm curious where that 24-inch part came from.
That is not under state statute. That was the city of Charleston has a similar exception policy,
yeah.
So that is what their policy is 24 inches, but certainly we can change that if you
want
to 26.
Well, I don't know that you need to change it. I'm just thinking that there are a lot of kids 12 years old who are riding a 26-inch bike.
Right.
And so that, I just offer that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what do you think,
Chief?
No, I'm
done. I was going to bring something up, too. I'll just wait to the end, but since you brought it up now, on that same statute or the same one.
Can you turn your mic on?
Oh, of course.
There you go.
Never been accused of not speaking up. No. So I think I asked this before when we were looking at this. So we have children under 12, 12 or under can ride on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I think that 3-year-old, 4-year-old, where the parent rides with the child, is there not an exception for the parent who's riding with that child on the sidewalk? I don't want to have anything where our police officers are put in a situation, they get a call from a citizen complaining about an adult on the sidewalk when indeed that parent's riding with that child.
Right. And we can include that to in that provision to add that, or a provision below possibly to add that any parent riding with the child would also be exempt or be allowed to ride on the sidewalk.
I think that would help get some of that gray out of that part of it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And then a little bit below that, you'll see when anybody is allowed to operate a bicycle on the sidewalk, that they have to yield the right-of-way to any pedestrians using the sidewalk. They, you know, the pedestrians are given the right, so they have to abide by that and then still abide by all the other provisions in this.
So my question on that is, what's the standard width of a regular sidewalk? 4?
5 feet.
5 feet. Okay. Do we have a way to put some signage? Because somebody's going to say, well, you know, I was riding, I didn't realize I was on 5 feet of concrete and I'm supposed to be on 8 feet, right?
Right.
Is there a way that we can have some kind of little signage to let people know this is a multi-use pathway?
Defer to Mr. Morrison.
It just might be if this is where we're all going with this. Yeah. And if you don't see that little sticker, then that's a sidewalk.
Yeah, James and I had that same discussion, okay. And it's one of those things. It's like, how far do you go to regulate something in an ordinance versus have to actively put something out there?
Right.
So I think we can. We had planned to kind of do that with Mount Pleasant Way. It's even wider, has more users. So I think it's something we're going to have to work through as far as the wording about EDS and a designated multi-use path. So we anticipated putting some sorts of signs and or just public notice through our website or whatever when you're using this facility. So it is an issue, but it's one of those, it's a double-edged sword. We don't want signs everywhere.
Right.
So I think we have to strike a balance. I don't know, I have a good answer right now.
Well, and nobody's demanding one.
Yeah.
It's something we can think about,
yeah,
down the way. Because if we get to, and you're the expert on enforcement, if we get to where there's a, I'm seeing it, Pat spoke to it, the proliferation of these e-bikes, we might need to be able to say, hey, if you didn't see that, you know, that marker, you weren't supposed to be on.
It's kind of, it's similar to the 25 mile per hour, all streets, unless otherwise posted.
Right.
You know, it would be similar to that, but it could be that we're going to need to consider some additional notification.
Okay. Just something to think
yes,
about.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'll move on to the next section. There is a regarding the operation of e-bikes. So there's separate provisions for e-bikes. Again, the first one, they're subject to all the duties and the regulations regarding a driverless vehicle, except where stated in this ordinance. And then we have, in the next section there, 73.10, we have limitations regarding operation speed, riding position, and number of riders. Again, only one rider must be in the seat. But we have a speed limit there of 15 miles per hour for all e-bikes within the town. So an e-bike can go up to 20 miles per hour under state code, but we have it a little bit below that they have to operate at a 15 mile per hour limit. And certainly that's in your discretion to change if you'd like to. And then the next section there is the required equipment. And you'll see in subsection A there, we have a provision stating that anybody under the age of 21 shall operate it. Riding an e-bike must wear a protective helmet. That copies state statute for motorcycles and mopeds. State statute doesn't say that e-bikes must wear a helmet, but we provided it here that anybody under 21 shall wear a helmet. And then next section, you'll see, again, required use of hand and arm signals, same as the bicycle provisions. And then we have the riding of e-bikes on sidewalks. So no e-bikes may be ridden on sidewalks, but they can be ridden on multi-use paths, again, as designated by EDS for the use of bicycles.
Okay.
And then the
any
last
question?
Okay, go ahead.
A question about the helmet. To the state law about motorcycles, and I ride, so I do know this. It's a DOT certified helmet, which you must wear.
Right.
So would you require a DOT certified helmet for the e-bike or a bicycle helmet for the e-bike?
The way it's written right now is the same as the state statute. So it's a DOT one with the reflectors and a chin strap. But certainly that's in your discretion.
I think we have to take a hard, we got to take a very hard look at that, because the DOT helmet's much more, it's to a higher standard than you did your regular bicycle helmets. And I've seen bicycles, not e-bikes, can go just as fast, if not faster, where they're not required to wear a DOT certified helmet. So I would look at the bicycle type helmet that's already out there. I mean, just something to consider.
Bicycle. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can certainly just make that a standard bicycle helmet instead of a motorcycle helmet.
Right.
And then the last section here is just regulations applicable to, actually, I'll go back real quick. The very last provision of the e-bike section of this ordinance is regarding modification of the e-bike equipment. This is stating that if anybody modifies an e-bike, or if the e-bike can go over 20 miles per hour, that is no longer going to be considered an e-bike under this ordinance. It's going to be considered a moped and has to be subject to all the regulations of the moped, which I'll get to now. Again, subject to all the rights and duties of a operator of a vehicle. But then the moped has that additional requirements under state law that whoever's operating a moped must have a driver's license or a moped license, and the moped must also be registered with the Department of Motor Vehicles. So there's that extra requirement if there are e-bikes that can go, that are souped up, as you'll say,
okay,
that they're now required to be a moped. Mopeds can't operate on the on sidewalks or pathways. They must operate within the roadway.
And let me just ask this question here, a little historical perspective. Remember a few years ago when one of these companies dropped a bunch of scooters around Mount Pleasant? You were chief then. I had to pick them up. Okay.
He did.
Those weren't e-bikes, right? Those were mopeds that would be out on the roads. I can't remember the details. I think they were scooters.
Right. I mean, they would. I don't know that they classify, but from a power standpoint, they'd be more like an e-bike.
So were they above or below this? Because I'm wondering what was it that made those illegal in Mount Pleasant at the time?
I think the issue is their guerrilla marketing, where they just dropped them off the street corner, and our town got littered with these things.
Yeah, right.
That was the issue, and no business license.
Business license.
I don't think we ever got into the how fast and things
like that. Got it. So is there an Uber for e-bikes out there or something where we're going to see racks and racks of these, you know, downtown, what is it, Holy Spokes or something like that? I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying, are we going to see a proliferation of these where people who maybe don't own one walk up and use a credit card and use it for a few hours? And I'm just thinking of the magnitude of this issue right now.
We still have the provision that anybody, any company or rental company such as that has to obtain a business license before they can operate that kind of business in the town.
Okay.
So certainly it would become for our business license folks.
But I'm not sure. I think that kind of activity could happen today.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we'd have grounds to withhold a business license. And if they, if one of these companies that you mentioned had an agreement with a private property owner, I'm not sure there's anything we could do about it right now to regulate it.
Right.
I think the issue is private property versus public property.
Correct.
Right.
And if they put something in the public right-of-way, we have the option to remove it.
Right.
That was the issue then, yes, sir.
Did with the scooter. So I think you've got to be cautious of how you explain it. And I think we're okay in the public right-of-way. Private right-of-way, private property. Then you get to
business license and what they can do.
So if that does arise when we get this passed in finality, I think it would be a good idea that if any vendors come along, we say you and your customers need to know this. I'm just wondering if it's going to be the next quick way to get to the beach. And so you're going to see groups of people renting these things for the day and taking off. I know there's a Segway group. Have y'all seen them? They go around.
Sure.
I think they're a tourist led by a tour guide or something. Nothing wrong with that. But just trying to think of what order of magnitude we might be dealing with on these things. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Other municipalities have like training requirements for anybody who
wants
this. So we can look into adding that to this as well, if you'd like.
Okay.
And then the last provision we have there is just a penalty. That's actually the only provision that carried over from the last ordinance.
From 1963?
That's right.
Wow.
But that's still state statute that anybody who is found guilty in the maximum municipal penalty.
Okay.
Any questions?
I got a, this will date me, but in 1967, when I lived on Cottingham Drive, I got a red spider bike for my birthday, and I remember the little Mount Pleasant sticker on it. I was so proud. So proud of that bike. So it was in effect at one time. So that was a long, long time ago, half a century ago. So where do we stand now, committee? Do we want to, and David, do you need us to just say make some of these adjustments as we discussed and we'll take it up again next month? I mean, we're not rushing to get this out Tuesday or next Tuesday.
This is the committee's choice. We can have it ready. The suggested changes that I understood were in 7308A1, which is changing the wheel diameter to 26 inches, also including an exception for parents riding with young children. We need to settle on an age limit, but I would probably say 7 or under or something of that sort was probably more practical. And we also have the proposed change for a standard bicycle helmet as opposed to the DOT requirements. and then we'll consider the training requirements that James mentioned. And again, it is this committee's call. We can have it ready for Tuesday for first reading, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, and we could bring it back to this committee next
week. Yeah, I'd like to see it come back to committee at least one more time. Give me some time to do some research.
I'm just thinking if we get to August, we're starting to get past the summer, and the summer is when you've got a lot of activity going on. So I would have no problem bringing it for first reading to council, our next council meeting. And then if there are any further changes we need to make,
okay with that,
make them at our August meeting, only because we're in the peak season right now. And the sooner we get this out there, I think the better off everybody is.
I was going to say wait till August, because 1963 was a long time ago. I don't feel the rush, but if we can have a first reading a week from Tuesday, I'd be okay with that. Okay. Do you need a motion?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mayor, I would move for approval of the ordinance provisions, Chapter 73, and with revisions that we have provided to legal so that we can have first reading at our July council meeting.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion?
I do have one more thing I wanted to ask, and do it during this time. When we talked about, I'm speculating, when the e-bikes reach a certain wattage and a certain mile per hour, it becomes a different level of enforcement. Can it be required to have the same registration requirement as a golf cart? Well, I'm thinking about it as our police department, if they're having to enforce such a thing, is an officer riding down the road going to know this e-bike is this level or this isn't? I just didn't know if there's a chief, maybe you've got something, sir, that you know about.
I think it's going to have to be a training issue where we educate the officers on how to inspect the e-bike to determine wattage.
That's what I was thinking. If there was a registration process for those that reached that level, that threshold we talked about, it would be immediate recognition. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's something you can do or not, sir.
Well, as far as the recognition, just to clarify, though, that the moped, when it gets to that level, and again, these are the state definitions that we can't change. There is a state requirement. If we'd like to institute a local requirement, we could do that. But the moped already has that.
Then it would require that point for the registration.
Yes,
got it. Thank you.
Any other discussion before we vote? All right. All in favor of the motion as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
And the motion passes. So we will have first reading at our Tuesday council meeting. If item number 7 is to adjourn, if there's nothing further before this committee, we will stand adjourned. Thank you. Y'all just stay in place for transportation.